This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tomorrow, 4th of July, I'm pretty sure that parents have a firm enough grip on their kids these days to make sure that this will not happen tomorrow. Like it happened on my street back in the day with my buddy Pat. Fired a bottle rocket in my buddy Pugsy's mouth. I told you that story years ago. We used to take the wiffle ball bat, the yellow wiffle ball bat, put a little on the meat part, on the big part, cut that out, and on the bottom part there was a little hole, if you remember, and the little tiny piece of wood that you would stick in the ground for the bottle rockets could actually fit inside that hole. So my buddy Pat had it over his shoulder like he's launching whatever in a war, right in Pugsy's mouth. Bang.
He was okay.
Oh, Pugsy was tough. He was resilient there. Teak, let's do a little hoops here. Dan Wyke, long time around the scene. Obviously, the Lakers a huge story. The Clippers a huge story. And he's a writer for the LA Times. And he's with us here on Teaky and Tierney. Dan, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
I'm good. I'm trying to think of all the irresponsible things I've ever done. I think I remember vaguely putting, do you remember like the snaps that you could throw at
people?
Oh,
yeah. Of course.
We would hide those in people's shoes.
That's good. I like it.
That's a great one, actually.
I like it.
And it's harmless to an extent.
Yeah, you can't get hurt with that because you could snap them in your finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottle rocket. They wrote, I haven't walked down. But it seems like a good way to spend tomorrow.
Well, unless you put like 13 and they're like, it's like, you know, grandma's orthotics. I mean, God forbid, you might scare the heck out of them. But I think that's relatively benign if you put them in your dad's slippers or something. All right, Dan. Let's start with the Clippers. I'm going to actually start with the Clippers rather than the Lakers. Now, you cover them for a long time. You cover everything now in L.A. for the L.A. Times, as I said. Mm-hmm. Can you paint a picture of just, like, including the infrastructure, how they're run, everything, how players perceive the Clippers, what they used to be when they were the joke to where they are right now with Steve Ballmer? How different is it?
I mean, I think it's gotten to the point now where if they don't get Kawhi Leonard, it's not even viewed as like some massive franchise crippling miss, right? That there's so much faith and trust in just the decision-making processes that go into it. They've completely rebuilt their infrastructure. They have as robust of a front office as, you know, they essentially have three guys who could be general managers around the league right now working together. Lawrence Frank, who's their president of basketball operations, their actual general manager, Michael Winger, had a chance to go to Minnesota, and he turned that down. And Trent Redden had a chance to go be David Griffin's general manager in New Orleans, and he turned that down to stay.
Yeah.
Guy in front offices, that doesn't really happen ever. And I'm sure they got nice little pay raises to stay, but they've built sort of a culture, at least in that part, where they smart people want to be there, and they're committed to their vision. I think last year's team was sort of a manifestation of all of that.
It's
a really hard-working, hard-to-hate team. Doc Rivers is, I think, some of the shine had washed off of him a little bit during the Lob City years. I think his reputation as a coach has been completely rehabbed at this point. Obviously, second in Coach of the Year voting this year. Did a great job the year before, too. You know, they're players in this, and I think it speaks to sort of not just what happens this summer, but what will happen two summers from now, three summers from now, whenever. They've positioned themselves to be in conversations that they wouldn't have been in 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's a win.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely is. And Steve Ballmer has turned the program so, I mean, it just feels so different. You don't laugh at them anymore. But BTS, I mean, he mentioned that you cover all of Los Angeles, and thinking about both of these organizations as they sit right now, because the Lakers are finding their footing, but it felt like for a while they were on the bottom side of the reputation side of what was going on in the league. What do you think, having, you know, insides on both of these, is going to be the deciding factor for Kawhi if he decides to leave Toronto, which we think he will?
I mean, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, it's just a matter, I think, in terms of immediacy of how bad he wants to win right away. Does he want to be a part of something that really the NBA has never seen before? And I mean, we can argue the semantics of this, but I haven't been able to come up with three players in their primes as good as LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Kawhi Leonard ever on the same team. You know, where you have three real MVP candidates, you know, that's never happened before. And does he want to be a part of something like that? Does he want to be, you know, you can be famous in Los Angeles. You can be a famous athlete in Los Angeles, but being a famous Laker is different. You know, Chris Paul played for the Clippers here, would go to Dodger Stadium. They'd show him on the scoreboard and he'd get booed. Nick Young played for some god-awful Laker teams and would drive the Zamboni at LA Kings playoff games. And it would be like, you know, Barack Obama was out there or something. It would, like, people would, it'd be like the, it'd be like Beatlemania for Nick Young.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's a factor, you know, in the sort of what the Lakers want to do. Again, the Clippers factor, I think the Clippers argument would simply just be, you know, you've proven that you don't need LeBron James and Anthony Davis to win before. You did it in a place in Toronto that had never seen a championship. You saw how they reacted. Imagine what it would feel like to do that, you know, in your backyard for a team that's never had that either.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of how they would differentiate the two. It's really interesting. I want to say one thing, though, and this is going to maybe sound like I'm raining on the Lakers parade a little bit, and if so, maybe I am. But I still think in terms of their organizational functionality, we don't know a lot about that yet. You know, they're not that far removed from Rob Pelinka sitting at a press conference table, you know, saying everything is fine. We've got tremendous optimism. He's sitting next to Frank Vogel, you know, their third choice for coach, you know, 6 hours after Magic Johnson just threw the entire franchise under the bus on television. Like, that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And all that's really happened since then is Rob Pelinka opened up the war chest of all their assets, all their draft picks, paid everything to get Anthony Davis. And did so, and you know, and was shrewd enough to eventually get the third team involved and to create the max cap space to do that. And if he gets Kawhi Leonard, you know, again, credit to them. But they won't have these players because they've been this rock solid organization. It'll be because of who they were,
yeah.
Not because of who they are today.
I totally agree. And Teek and I have been saying that for a while. We're talking to a little Clippers, a little Lakers, and we're talking to Dan Wyke with us here from the LA Times on Teek and Tierney. A couple things to bounce off of, and then I have a specific question for you. You know, sure. Your point about multiple MVPs on the same team, it's funny because I brought this up yesterday with Teek, and I said, you know, Kareem was a little diminished. You go back to those Laker years. Parrish was never as good as – he was good. He just was never as great as Bird and Raquel. Ironically, one of the teams that I think maybe fits the profile is a team that gets forgotten a lot, and that's the 73 or the 69 Knicks, where you have Frazier, Reed, and Bradley / DeBuscher. But even with MJ and Pippen, you know, Rodman, great rebounder, but not that profile.
Great player.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an interesting point.
That level.
Yeah.
It's just not that level. These are tier one superstars.
No doubt about it.
I mean, and that's, you know, you can argue about, well, how many guys are in that list? Are they top seven guys? Are they top eight guys? Could they be top five guys? Like, you know, I mean, they're – for sure top 10 players, top 10 players.
I agree.
Probably closer to top seven, three top seven players. And you know, I grew up in Chicago during the Jordan Bulls and like, love those teams, like, to my core. It is why I love basketball. Dennis Rodman was never a top seven player in the NBA.
Yeah.
He's maybe the greatest role player of a generation, never a top seven player.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to debate you on that. You're 100% right.
Hey,
no
Dan,
question.
What happens – I mean, I think you kind of answered what happens if the Clippers don't land Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah,
they'll probably be
go
okay.
Go ahead. Keep going. Just keep moving forward. Yeah.
What the heck happens to the Lakers if they don't get Kawhi Leonard? How do they – I mean, one, they have more money to fill out their roster, but there's no one to fill it out with anymore because they waited so long.
Boogie.
Yeah. I wrote this in a column earlier this week that is sort of like, you know, a free agency is like those winter storms that send everybody to the grocery store to, like, load up on, like, toilet paper and water.
That's right.
If that's free agency, right? Like, the Lakers have been stuck in the parking lot while everybody else is coming out with food and stuff. And they're going to go in there, and there might be a tin of sardines somewhere.
Great analogy. Great analogy.
You know what I mean? Like, the shelves are going to be super picked over. And that's not to say that you can't still, you know, find what you need in there, because I think you can. But, like, you got to be a really good cook to do it, right? And so we don't know how good Rob Flink is at this yet. We saw what it was last year with him and Magic Johnson, and it was pretty bad. You know, so we'll see on that front. But there is, and I mean, it's worth waiting for Kawhi Leonard. He's good enough to do it. If you think you have a chance, you wait. You don't risk his cap space on a deal for, say, T.J. McConnell, right,
yeah,
who just reportedly signed with Indiana.
Pacers,
that
yeah.
being said, they're waiting, and because they're waiting, T.J. McConnell would have played for the Lakers. Like, absolutely. Like, they don't have a point guard right now. You know what I mean? He would have been a rotation player on the Lakers. He's gone. Markieff Morris would have been a rotation player on the Lakers. He is gone. Like, there's a handful of guys that you think, you know, might come through. Marcus Morris might come through. You know, Rajon Rondo could come back. Lance Stevenson could come back. JaVale McGee could come back. I mean, like, this isn't, you know, this isn't the type of core that I think you would ideally want. You know, does DeMarcus Cousins make you excited? Like, you know, maybe if as sort of a last resort to kind of, like, save some face, but I think it's a difficult thing, you know, for them. But they're just in this position; they have to be, and they're just going to have to figure it out. Even if they get Kawhi Leonard, like, this is still a very far from complete roster. And I think if we know anything right now about the NBA and the way some of the better teams are built in terms of defensive sophistication and stuff like this, three offensive players on the court isn't enough. Teams can work around that. You can, and it'll be interesting to see. These are three of the best. Maybe ever to be on the court at the same time. But if option four is Rajon Rondo and option five is, you know, I think Jody Meeks or someone like that,
yeah,
like that's rough. And they'll feel that, certainly.
Although, if there's ever a year to go to battle with that diminished of a supporting cast, this is the year to do it without the Warriors being the Warriors.
Totally. Yeah, it's a transitional year for sure. It feels like, I mean, Brooklyn isn't going to be the visualized version of what they are until next season. The Warriors, you know, are going to miss Klay Thompson for 6 to 7 months. And certainly that roster, that team looks very, very different today. You know, the Utah Jazz are an exciting team, I think.
Love them.
Well, exciting might not be the right word.
No, no.
They're a very
they're good
team.
Very good.
They're very good. Not always super fun to watch.
Yeah, true.
But they're a very good team. The Rockets still have, you know, a lot of firepower.
Nah,
but, like,
stop.
They have their,
stop.
They have their own dysfunction there, though.
Yep. Mavericks.
You know, I mean,
Mavericks.
I like the Mavericks. I do like the Mavericks. But, again, you know, we haven't seen Kristaps Porzingis play in over a year. That's a long time, and that takes time to kind of get your feet under you. And Luka Doncic is still learning how to play. Portland is good. I think the Whiteside trade is interesting for them. If they get an optimized version of Hassan Whiteside, that makes them a little bit of an interesting team. But, yeah, like, this is a go time for teams in the NBA. And I think that's a big part of the reason why you saw so much money getting spent so quickly in free agency is that there's a window. And there are a lot of teams that are close that could kind of talk themselves into, you know, being a top five seed in the conference. And if you're there and you win one series and then maybe you win two, and then the next thing you know, you're where Portland was last year and you've got a chance, and maybe an injury here, an injury there breaks your way. And you know, you find yourself in the finals. It's not the fait accompli it's been, that it's going to be the Warriors, it's going to be the Cavs, like, and we're just going to do this again. Really, as of today, I think anybody, if they told you, I know what next year's finals are looking like, they're just liars.
No,
they've come back for the future. It's Marty McFly.
It's going to be unique. Dan, not a lot of time. I want to throw one more thing by Dan Wyke from the LA Times here. Now, you know, local radio is totally different from national radio. Doing local radio, whether it's in New York or Boston or Philly or Chicago, people could rip up the phone lines for five straight hours about a manager's gaffe with the bullpen. It's different nationally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. But the sports radio template, and I've known people who've worked there in L.A., is different. And I am curious. I want to bring it back to the Clippers, strangely. As much as their infrastructure has changed, as much as the way they're perceived by NBA players has changed, do people in Los Angeles care about the Clippers yet?
They do, but it is the bizarre situation. And it's been like this, where it is a bigger national story than it is a local story. And it was like this when I covered the team, like the Lob City team, like where I would be doing radio all over the country and I would be doing it very infrequently in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
There is more demand for some Clippers talk now, but it is still very much dominated you know, by the Lakers. It is very much dominated by the Dodgers. And everybody else is just kind of, you know, going for scraps. And I think it is interesting because nationally, like, people notice, right? Like, people know who the Clippers are, and people care about the Clippers. I will say that they did sort of forge a connection last year with their fans that was different than the Lob City years. That didn't feel as earned. And, like, this was, like, you know, when you have Pat Beverly putting his chest into Kevin Durant in the playoffs, right? Like, yeah. And just being like, I'm going to be a dog, and, like, you know, if you want an inch, you're going to have to fight for it. Like, people love that. Mm-hmm. And, like, and that did resonate with some people, and they've done a good job in the city. But it's still not quite like, all right, we're going to do 40 minutes on the Lakers, and then we're going to follow it up with 30 on the Clippers, because otherwise people are going to change the station. Like, that's not what it is here yet. It's more like, we're going to do 40 on the Lakers, and then we'll do 5 on the Clippers and how it relates to the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly.
Just how it is.
I hear you. Dan, awesome stuff. We're keeping the number strong. I think our audience enjoyed that. I thought you were fantastic. Dan Wyke from the LA Times. Good stuff. Happy 4th, buddy.
Yeah, be safe tomorrow, everybody.
I'm way past the wiffle ball days, at least in terms of shooting firecrackers. And I still home run derby, of course, but different games. Thanks, Dan.
Be good, Dan.
That'd be good.
All right, pal. All right, coming up. He was good.
He was good. A lot of information out there and lots to follow out there, obviously.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.